Yeah, man, we're good.
Then at 6 o'clock, I'd like to call the work session to order for the October 21st, 2020 board meeting. Just a few notes for everyone who is on the call. This meeting is being recorded. We have the members of the board and administrative directors here with us today. We feel strongly that as we have our teachers and administrators and our children, some of our children back in our buildings, that we should be as well. Here physically distant, masked, and with hand sanitizer. A Zoom license only allows for 500 participants, but the meeting minutes and audio recording will be available on the district website after the fact. Cameras and microphones are turned off for all participants. The chat feature is turned on. Participants can only chat with the host in order to sign up for public comment, which will take place during the regular board meeting, which begins at 7 or thereabouts. If you're interested in speaking during the public comment portion, you must provide your full name and the topic that you wish to address in the chat prior to the start of public comment. Please know that if you're signing up for public comment, that you will be asked to share both your audio and video when it is time for you to present. The chat will be turned off after the public comment portion begins. And with that, I'll entertain a motion to move into an executive session, as we have no formal issues to address during the work session tonight.
So
second.
With a motion by Ms. Mallon, seconded by Reverend McClymont, to move into executive session. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. We will be back. Okay, at 7:08, I'd like to call the October 21st, 2020 Board of Education meeting to order. And we will start with the Pledge of Allegiance and moment of silence, led by Reverend McClymont.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands. One nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Peace.
Thank you. Something aloud before we get the rest of the agenda underway. This meeting is being recorded. Our Zoom license only allows 500 participants, but the meeting minutes of audio recording will be available on the district website after the fact. Cameras and microphones are turned off for our participants who are joining us by Zoom. The chat feature is on, however, participants can only chat with the host in order to sign up for public comment. If you're interested in speaking during the public comment portion, you must provide your full name and topic that you wish to address in the chat prior to the start of public comment. Please know that if you're signing up for public comment, then you will be asked to share both your audio and video. The chat will be turned off after the public comment portion begins. Okay, so to start with, we have special recognitions, the first of which is for perfect attendance. Mr. Williams, did you want to say anything?
Nope, we annually we recognize our folks at the employee recognition portion of our, I believe, end of the year events. Due to pandemic, of course, we were unable to do that, so our next plan was at the breakfast. We're unable to do that, so we wanted to bring it to the board this evening for this measure. And there's some folks on there who have been running quite a streak.
Yeah, we have a number of individuals who are topping out at 12 years. Stacy Watts, David Morrison, Stacy Lewis. We also have several who are at 11, so it's Eileen Allison, Rosemary Mast, and I think that's at 11. And then for 10 years, Jeffrey Allison has 10. So there are a number of people on that list, so we appreciate all that they do and certainly celebrate along with them. And the next item on the agenda is 4.2, retirement recognition of Christine Lowry for 22 years. She's not able to join us tonight, but we have her certificate of appreciation here. Certificate is awarded to Christine M. Lowry for your faithful and valuable service to the children and community of the Smyrna School District from 1998 to 2020. Signed. Can you pass that down to you?
Yes.
Okay, that takes us to number 5.1, changes to the agenda.
There are none.
Thank you. Number 6 is reports and updates. And Mr. Williams, the superintendent's report is first.
Yeah, thank you, Madam President. We'll start with a presentation by JVM. Tonight's meeting was originally scheduled to be at JVM, and so they wanted to give you a brief presentation, and then I'll close out the superintendent's report with a few updates.
Well, welcome. I'll stay back a little bit. Normally, in a typical year, I would invite kids and parents, and we'd have a nice little celebration, and they'd share out some of the things that they were doing, obviously, at JVM, but of course, it's a different year. But we are so excited. We got 2 more days without kids, and they will be with us come Monday. So, obviously, over the last 6 months, we've been working very hard district wide, not just JVM, but every school, getting together for our kids to come back with us on Monday. We've been working diligently getting the schedule together, and Ms. O'Connell probably got the call this week regarding traffic flow with construction in the town of Smyrna. It's not very easy to get the JVM right now. So we have a plan. We work with Roger in the town of Smyrna, and the Smyrna pieces will help us on Monday. Just getting parents in the habit of getting to school is quite a challenge just in that. Just real brief, we have about 70% of our kids coming to us virtually. I'm sorry, hybrid, starting Monday. We have about 240 kids on any given day, give or take 1 or 2 kids. About 210 kids stay home. So we are excited again. It's going to look different, not having 700 kids in. I think we've been over-anticipating, but dating the visit to Smyrna Elementary last week was a little odd. Because I asked Cindy, I'm like, where are all the kids? We're all here, and so it's been very fun. So I just have a little shout out to our teachers, to you. We asked them to give us something they're winning with this week. So have a small 1.5-minute video for them to thank you for all that you've done. Mr. Williams and Mrs. Judy being very open and very clear with your communication for the last 6 months with everyone, knowing keeping everyone abreast of any information that's coming out. So all of us, JVM, I want to thank you for all your support and the board also. So, thank you. All right, so small video.
What you're about to see is some truly amazing people doing some truly amazing things during these challenging times. And their resilience and obstacles to overcome these amazing challenges.
A positive movement I had this week was when a student finally started showing up to my Zoom classes. Because then everybody participated longer. Hi! Fourth grade is really happy that we finished our first core novel together at the Hell, and all the kids loved it and can't wait for the next one in this series.
The Marvin needs all the support from our parents this week.
The best thing about this year is I've learned so much technology.
This thing has had several wins in the virtual model. I love watching my students' faces via Zoom when they can really understand something and hearing their excitement about returning to class.
A win for me this week is all of my students showed up for their Tuesday small groups.
So my win for this week is one of my students who has not turned in any assignments
or really attended the Zoom from the beginning of the market period, has now attended 2 weeks of Zoom, and this week she is almost all caught up on her work.
One other thing that has happened to me this week is that I had all of my kids attend my Zoom. Hello, this week I made a good game about JVM and everyone loved it. I am almost finished my hours and I've had two kids blow up two levels since last year.
Hi, so the thing that happened this week was that I got to meet all of my new virtual students.
The highlight of this school year has been watching our staff come together and support one another throughout all of the challenges that we've been facing. We're so grateful to have a wonderful staff.
I'm going to enjoy listening to the kids tell serious stories.
I just wanted to say all the great stuff that the school board has done in supporting our student administration as well as the school board, thanking us for the programming that they purchased in order for us to reach our work group open and get all of our documents completed, allow us to have our meetings and just have everything up to par to meet the needs of our students. So I just want to say thank you.
So you did see a small group of kids. So for the last 3 weeks, we have had our CLP and our virtual support come back to life. We've had the luxury of having the space where they can actually come for a week. So we've had a Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday, so then that helped us support the kids. So that's all I have. I appreciate again your support, and we're ready for Monday. And one more recognition, because during all of this, not just administrators in our school, but all around, it took really the entire village. And really, Amy and her support helping me through all of this, it took double minds to get this, because there's so many variables. It feels like you're back in the classroom. First year of the entire career and starting all over again. So it's been a lot. So I want to publicly and personally thank her too.
Follow on the lines of public thanks. Thanks to you both. It's not easy when you have board members who have kids and in your school. But I really thank you. It's been great, and the communication's been lovely. The teachers have been great. And certainly everything you guys have done has been really truly exceptional. And so I thank you. It's one thing to hear it from the other schools, it's another to see it and see the challenges that are happening in the district, and truly thank you.
Thank you, Steve. Thank you, Pierce. Rounding out the superintendent's report for the evening, just a few updates across the district. Of course, this is the third week of the kindergarten, grades 1, 2, and 3 hybrid. Return to the classrooms. Very pleased to report we've had zero. It's like a big zero. Only time zero is a positive, but not really a positive. Zero in COVID cases among our students, kindergarten through third grade. So that's a credit to our families, the community, and especially the schools, making sure that the children are safe and the staff each day that they arrive. Update hybrid calendar. Wanted to let you know, due to the success so far and the perseverance of everyone in each of the schools in working with both Mrs. Cook and Mrs. Holt, we've decided for the high school to move up by 1 week their hybrid return. So November 30th will be the date that the high school students will come in for their first hybrid. And that will be 2 weeks after the middle school has returned to hybrid on November 16th. November, of course, is a very kooky, I'll use that adjective, month. So the middle school, I guess it's perfect for middle school, right? Because anything goes in middle school. So the middle school will come back for, what did we say, like one group in the hybrid will come back for 1 day, and then they go on the parent conference / Thanksgiving break, and they won't be back until 2 weeks later. But that's them to the breaks. That's where the calendar falls. So we don't want to delay it any longer. So we'll get them in just before Thanksgiving, and then as soon as the break is over, the high school students will start returning. You'll hear a little bit more about the return to school from Roger and from Kelly. And Stacy's here this evening in case you had any questions about the spectator procedures that we put in place. Stacy was at the volleyball game. I was at the field hockey game with Bill Schultz and some other admin. Leon and the team were at the unified football game, and everything went smoothly. The two spectators came in, they were checked in, had hand sanitizers, all of the spectators had masks. The bleachers were marked out so the families knew where they could sit, and it was a beautiful day yesterday to watch a field hockey. So from my vantage point, everything worked well. Tomorrow is soccer, and then Friday, of course, against Stoke High School. In our stadium will be the first football game. Stace, did you want to say anything about that? I know that's primarily what you came to
say. Yeah, no, absolutely agree with everything that you shared. We were really pleased with how the evening went, and I just am here to get you more questions.
And I didn't have any questions for Stace about that.
Glad to hear everything went well.
Yes, very pleased with that. We're also this evening, and I'll just touch on it, but both again, Roger and Kelly will dig into it a little bit more, and Stacy can answer any of the questions mechanically about how this would affect the schedule. Due to the transportation challenges that the state of Delaware is experiencing, we know that when we get to the hybrid return of our secondary students, both middle and high school beginning on November 16th, as I mentioned a moment ago, that due to the limits on each bus, I believe it's 22, Mr. Holt, is 22 students per bus, and given the shortage of drivers throughout the state, right now, our drivers are all coming together and collaborating to help get our elementary and then beginning Monday, our intermediate students together at both JDM and Clayton Intermediate. But we know that we will face some challenges as we continue to roll through the hybrid approach, given the restrictions that are in place. So we're going to be proposing a three-tiered arrival and dismissal schedule once middle and high school students roll in. That would be staggered in the morning with some traditional time still in place, but a third tier. And then similarly at the end of the day, a three-tiered departure time. And that would allow our drivers to mobilize more effectively, get the buses sanitized, and make three bus runs in the morning and afternoon as opposed to two. And based on our calculations, we would be able to manage our pre-K all the way up through grade 12, as long as the hybrid instructional model remains in place. And I wanted to also mention that with the calendar that we're going to be putting out tomorrow, not only will it show November 30th as the start date for the high school as opposed to December 7th, but we went ahead and we rounded out the full year in a hybrid model, January through June. There's been no proclamation at the state level, but we all are aware of press conferences that happen weekly. We all can see the data. We all know that we are in a persistent state of emergency due to the pandemic, which today has been renewed every 30 days as is required. So we're going to go ahead and map out a hybrid calendar, which will show the instructional model for pre-K through 12 through June, given the AA and BB cohorts Monday, Tuesday, with Wednesday as an all virtual day, and then Thursday, Friday for the second cohort. Everything is subject to change. What we've all learned, in addition to a lot of the wins that JPM staff just presented, we have all learned the very definition of words like pivot and spontaneous and flexibility and anything that suggests we may have to modify what we're doing with very limited notice. So we'll map out a hybrid calendar, but with the caveat that everything is subject to the state of the pandemic, the state of emergency, and Governor Carney's proclamations. And if those change, then we obviously would communicate to all of our community and bring that to you so that you would be aware of how we have to modify. But right now, given that what we know is the hybrid model is in place, we're going to continue to map that out until June, and we'll see how that looks as each month passes. And that is the superintendent's report for this evening.
Thank you very much. Operations, Mr. Holt.
All right, so pivot seems to be the name of the So pivoting, being cooperative, collaboration, all those wonderful words that involve
And it is a change on the fly and all of this stuff. So that's what we're all doing right now. Our buildings and grounds team are actively pursuing HVAC cleaning, making sure that all of our filters are changed, making sure that the service is up to date on all of the equipment. They're doing enhanced cleaning above and beyond what we want to do to comply with CDC and ASHRAE guidance. We know that the middle school and the high school retired the veteran, so they're working to make sure all the eyewash stations and the safety showers are ready to go. Those items have not been used or tested in quite a while, so they're going to make sure that those are functional, safe to use. They're completing lots of work orders related to the COVID-19 accommodations that we're pursuing. Some of the recent things, we're supporting some of the classrooms in the intermediate environment that need plexiglass barriers, or we're making sure that the classes can accommodate all the students that are going to be in there. So a grant was received, so they're going to be working with Denver to obtain new LED lighting for the parking lots for the middle school and high school. So we're going to have a lot better illumination in those lots. Winter prep, they're working right now to get everything prepared for potential snow removal. Hopefully we won't need that equipment that much this year, but we're going to be ready for that in the event that we do. Technology is booming right now. They're still working, doing ongoing service and support for teachers in the virtual environment, as well as students, supporting students as needed with devices and device tech support. We did receive a partial shipment of our Chromebooks that we placed in order, say, it's been 6 weeks ago. We got 800 of the 1500 in, so technology has been busy for the past day and a half getting those devices prepared to go out to our students that need devices. Some of the households need more than one device, so we're working to support those needs. So technology is very busy getting those devices ready to go out to students. Technology and curriculum are collaborating weekly to identify and support technology needs with students and teachers. One of the things that we've learned a lot in this new COVID climate is new issues are arising with the use of technology, and we're finding little things that we didn't expect. And those two departments are working now to make sure that we can be proactive in solving issues and try to anticipate challenges before they arrive. Transportation, wow. So that's a big one. So Sharon is working hard every single day. She's working, collaborating closely with the Department of Education, with other school districts, with our bus contractors. She's also collaborating with those contractors to support child nutrition. They're serving 10 community sites now, as well as our 8 school sites. So we're up to 18 sites, and Sharon has done a wonderful job collaborating with our transportation contractors to make that possible. She's also working closely with our administrators and families to accommodate transportation needs and requests. So we've had a lot of parents who have requested changes, so she's done a lot of collaboration to make sure that any changes from one hybrid cohort to the other is accommodated. Bus routing and planning is an ongoing challenge, as Mr. Williams alluded to. There is a significant driver shortage in the state, and Smyrna is not an exception to that. We have a driver shortage with our contractors. So one of the things that we are working on is that staggered start to our school day. And the other component of that is supporting a need to change in curriculum as well, which Kelly's going to go into a lot more detail on how it supports curriculum and talk a little bit more specifically about time. But with that change, it does support us significantly in the morning when we had multiple buses needed to be on the roads at the same time. So it does help us out there. We are also getting support from our contractors, from our other bus contracts that we have with the Military Academy, as well as with Polytech, are going to be supporting some of our ones as well to help us out. So it's a very large collaborative effort to make sure that our transportation needs are addressed. Child nutrition,
Month of October was busy. Over 20,000 meals served to the community in October. On the 16th, we collaborated with the town of Smyrna to secure 200 of the farm to family food boxes to provide to our community. They're continuing to do all those 18 curbside or community delivery sites, as well as feed students who are in program. The nutrition program received a great honor last week, being recognized by the First Lady of Delaware with the First Chance Award, and then the program was honored the next day by the Smyrna Clean Rotary, and being recognized for their efforts to support the students during the pandemic. School climate and safety, very busy there as well, conducting yearly safety assessments for each building. Those are first. Continuing to provide virtual ALICE training, working on MTSS goals, supporting restorative practice plans for the year, as well as getting people certified to train virtually. Working to continuously support the SEL lessons for the monthly calendar for teachers to use district-wide, as well as working on virtual food trip. So a lot of stuff going on.
Thank you very much. Congratulations on the two awards for next on the agenda is curriculum. Mrs. Holt.
So on October 9th, we had our in-service, and all of our staff completed their mandatory trainings for the year through the state of Delaware. And we offered support sessions of some of our virtual areas that they had reached out to us on. In the past month, we did a staff survey and asked questions of how things were going, was our virtual learning plan appropriate, and focused on different areas. So out of that, attached to your document is an update of our summer virtual learning plan. And as we use Google Classroom and the Google Suite, we were hoping to use Google Meets, but some of the updates haven't happened like they thought they were. So our teachers have been using Zoom, and we will continue to use Zoom. We have worked with technology, and they have purchased Zoom for our inclusion teachers so that we have access and can have more than one teacher in the classroom inviting that way. And our other classrooms are using Zoom as they were before. One of the other things was the demand of assignments and assessments. We had made recommendations for weekly assignments and assessments. And as you can see, at the grade levels, we got some feedback of what the demand should be. So we made some modifications there. One of the other areas on there was some technical support for our parents and students. So last week, Sandra Hall in my office and Jess Weller have started a weekly virtual check-in for parents, and we put that on our Facebook virtual page where the field trips are, and also on our website. And it's just a weekly check-in of strategies, and it also has some resources if parents need some as well. In this area, you know, here's a resource we can look at. We also have them answering a few questions in your pod presentation. So we're getting information guiding us on our next presentations. So last week it went up, and we had 88 families participate the first week, which we thought was really good. And, you know, so week two just went out, and it's scheduled to go out on Tuesday, and then the field trips happen on. The next, I have listed grammar grades. I know last year curriculum presented information about looking into a standard stage report card. With everything happening, we didn't get where we would like to be with that, and we're still working on that. But one area that is glaring right now is on the elementary report card. There was a specific grammar grade. And under ARC, everything is encompassed together, and it's not appropriate to separate it out. So for grammar right now, it will be empty, and we're including those skills in the language arts grade on the report card. So that's just informational, and the committee for the standards-based grading is working to move forward with that. As we were transitioning into our hybrid scenario, we've been working with the principals in each building. Our K to six schedule has worked out so that to manage both our students who are choosing to stay in virtual and hybrid, we have assigned virtual teachers. And so students are in a virtual class and teachers are teaching that way versus the students who are coming in for hybrid. When we get to grades 7 to 12, and you're looking at an 8-period day and electives and numbers of students in class, that challenge becomes a little bit greater. And both Mrs. Smeltzer and Mrs. Cook tried several different models, but when they got the final survey from their students, at the high school, we have about 54% who are hybrid, 46 who are virtual. And at the middle school, we have 35% virtual and 65% coming in hybrid. It became very challenging of how they were going to provide those virtual lessons. And, you know, at the high school specifically, they were trying to compress it into Wednesday, and we really wanted to focus on the equity of time that our students are getting. So what we would like to do is, if our high school students come in 2 hours later, that first 2 hours of the day would be the virtual class session. And Mrs. Cook can use her teachers to teach their virtual lessons and then teach their hybrid students for the remainder of the day. That also allows for the three bus runs on that end. So our middle school students would come in at about that 7:15, 7:30 hour. Our elementary students would come in at that 8:15, 8:30, and our high school students would come in 9:15, 9:30. And it would only take her classes from 90 minutes to about 60 minutes. So the difference in classes could be done with their asynchronous assignments because they're getting that class approximately one day a week anyway in the hybrid. So the extra time would be made up with their assignments and their asynchronous learning. At the end of the day, we would be looking at doing similar to the middle school. They would be leaving at 1:30 instead of 2:30. One of the reasons they have fewer students in that virtual model, it's not as much time. And then 2:30, the typical time our high school students would leave, and then 3:30 for our elementary. So for us, it does help with the curriculum as far as providing our virtual students and our in-person students equitable services. It allows for a third bus run, and it gives all students the similar amount of time.
But thank you.
Yeah,
no, wow. Stacy's basically had to redo everything.
Wow.
Like what, the fifth or sixth time now?
I think this scenario, though, is a much stronger way to serve the needs of our students equitably in both settings. They get about the same amount of face time with their teacher in front of them. And it also allows us to preserve a reasonable amount of time for the teachers to create what they need to create to deliver the instruction. Because if we try to do a full day model and give that Wednesday to strictly virtual, the teachers lose all, any time that they have on Wednesday to create these things that they're using for the virtual instruction. And that's a major loss to them because it's very time consuming. So we're trying to also build time for them to do what they need to do to serve the kids.
And thank you for just putting out surveys and being responsive and adjusting plans. That's also not easy to do, but you know, definitely needed in this circumstance, I think.
Next up is special services, Dr. Recall.
All right, so we had our first special ed teacher council meeting, which I'm so glad that we really that we started these meetings. And when we initially started a couple of years ago, we were doing like every other month, and then we realized the teachers were like saying, we want to do this more. So just as a reminder, the process is that we have representative from every building, as well as early childhood. We have their own representative. And they reach out to all the staff that is involved in special education and find out if there are any questions, concerns, or if they want to give like positive shout outs for that month. That representative reaches out to their building principal first to review and see, especially if there are questions, concerns, is there something within the building that they can resolve before they come and talk to us. And then it really is a problem solving team. It's such a great opportunity for them to talk with each other and for us to provide some thoughts, suggestions, and sometimes we walk away with a list, like a to-do list. So, what was so nice was there was a consistency this time when we said, well, tell us what's working. Collaboration, collaboration, collaboration. I mean, they just were saying everybody is really working together. They're really helping each other. We feel like we're very supported. That was just consistent throughout for all the different grade levels, the different buildings. So I was really happy to hear that. And a lot of people commented on that for the elementary, it was so exciting, especially for them to see children in the building. And at the secondary level, they were just saying they were happy to be back in the building. The adults were happy to be back. So they're really, really good things. Some of the questions that they brought to us were about assessments, specialized assessments and things like that. And so that brings me to the point of the hybrid, the next point that I listed, hybrid and virtual sessions. So we are finding that overall, this has been very productive. In fact, some of our students are even getting more one-on-one and small group time doing these virtual sessions. The teachers have just been amazing with reaching out and saying, like, I feel like they need more time. And we have been working, I say we, but really Marcia Mayhew focuses on all the special ed curriculum. She works with the specialists. And they're making sure that the assessments are available, and they have found some really effective ways to make sure that the students have a wide range of assessments, and we're getting some good feedback already on where we feel students are. And it's really a mix. I mean, we have some students who have shown some improvements, some that are just staying the same, and then some that were like, all right, we need to really give another boost to get you back on track. So it's been really really great. So lots and lots of questions about wearing masks, right? So as you know, all of our comprehensive learning program students have been invited to attend face to face. Not all of them are, but we have a good number here, and those teachers are reporting that. In the very beginning, there was maybe a little bit of the conversation about put your mask on, but very quickly they see the other children wearing them and they're wearing them. It's become very natural. And so we really have not been, it's really more the fear, I think, before coming to school. But the teachers are not finding that the children are really struggling a lot with it. We, you know, since we, the adults, have been back, my staff has been evaluating students. And so those students have come in and they're all, we've got little babies coming in. And there's, you know, the three-year-olds really young. And even with them, you know, they get reminders and they, I was like, that baby. you know, they get reminders, but they, you're really good about it. And so, you know, it's, when you're out in the community, they see it also. So it's, yeah, so it's been going very, very well. And there's a lot of cute videos that, you know, different people have made and been showing about it. And so it's going on. Next up will be the Special Ed Parent Council. So Jen Morris is working on this. And she actually is going to be sending out a survey to our families to try to find out from them what topics you feel right now you want to talk about, so that we make sure the meetings, you know, what do you need support on, or what would you like to discuss, so that it's a productive meeting, virtual meeting, of course. So we're looking forward to that. And then just in the unit count updates, so we, you know, have switched over to PowerSchool. There have been some glitches. Thank goodness the state gave us till November 13th so we could work through. Thank goodness we have a Bernadette Hillman who is very strong in that area, so is often finding that. But we have been able to work through a lot. And so as far as in the special education world, we, you know, we're on track for November 13th, and we have, you know, a variety of students who are actually enrolling. And we're just making sure we have everybody in the system. That's
thank you very much. All right, Mr. Gallagher, you're up.
All right. Good evening. I just have a few items for you tonight. One, just as a reminder, last month we discussed our certificate of necessity submission, and that has been delivered to the Department of Education in an electronic format this year. And that was done at the end of last month. Just a couple of little questions. We really haven't heard any feedback on that proposal yet. We also had a parcel of land that we put through the State Plus Committee for review by a variety of state agencies, and we've got some initial feedback on them, so that process is continuing as well. Last February, you'll recall, we had a couple of major capital referendums to do some renovations at North Smyrna Elementary School with their roofing and mechanical systems. And we have a proposal that closes on Friday for the architect and engineering services for those projects. Hoping we could have got that scheduled to bring to you tonight. Unfortunately, we could not, but you'll be seeing that for official approval in the November meeting. A couple of other updates for you. The state received some new financial revenue estimates on Monday, and they were all positive. The last year collections were actually about $30 million more than they had anticipated at their June meeting. The current year revenue forecast has gone up about $227 million. And the projections for the following year, fiscal 2022, went up by another $132 million. So that was all positive news, because again, a lot of the concern was what things were going to be looking like come 2022. That was the positive news on that front. I also gave you some information regarding the lawsuit settlement agreement between the state and a variety of partners that dealt with funding for low-income students, children with disabilities, and those students for whom English is not their first language. While that settlement still needs to go through the legislature, etc., I did provide you with a actual copy of the settlement agreement, and then a one-pager that talks about some of the funding initiatives that will result from that. Opportunity funding will be increased over the course of the next several years. They've talked about expanding the basic special education unit from grades 4 through 12 to pre-K through 12. Some additional funding for early childhood. And then they review actually the entire state funding process as part of that package. A lot of these initiatives will not start seeing funding until fiscal 23 or 24. I think there's a lot of recognition about the current fiscal situation that the state is going through. But I did give you a copy of that for your information. The one other component around the lawsuit which deals with, which actually wasn't the state per se, but it dealt with the assessment issues, is not addressed as part of this settlement agreement. So that issue is still out there.
Okay, thank you very much. Number seven on our agenda, we come to formal public comment. I just have a statement that I'd like to read into the record. Time has been allotted at the beginning of most board meetings for individuals to address the district board on issues of general concern. Due to privacy requirements, no individual persons may be identified during formal public comment. Each group should choose one representative to speak, and comments must be limited to no more than 5 minutes. All other individuals are limited to 3 minutes. Speakers may not cede their time to others. Speakers will be recognized by myself in the order in which you signed up. If a large number of people have signed up to speak, I may, at discretion of the board, limit the number of persons allowed to speak based on that order of sign up. During the course of the formal public comment, the Board of Education, at its discretion, may enter into executive session to hear matters of a sensitive or private nature. Please remember that public comment is not a question and answer session. Once your name is called for public comment, you will be unmuted and your camera will be enabled. I will begin a 3-minute timer, and once you start to speak, your time begins. When your time is up, you'll be muted and your camera will be turned off. Mr. Sweeney? Thank you very much. Okay, Fran Strasser with SEA. Fran, whenever you're ready, I believe you're, Mr. Sweeney, is she unmuted? Okay, thank you.
All right, good evening. Thank you very much for allowing me to speak tonight. We had just a couple things as far as the SEA is concerned with, and we were just talking with our liaison meetings, and we're having some really good conversations as far as expressing some of the concerns and the needs for the educators and the students. So we want to thank them for having an open line of communication with us and helping us out on those things. Today we were just finding out for the first time about this, the new schedule for the high school are coming in. So I know I've been in communication and I'll get that information further from the district so we can look that over and have a chance to understand that as well. And in regards to, I know next month we're going to be going for a class waiver and the notification that we had received. So as the board, I'm really going to strongly encourage you to vote against the waiver this year in regards to some of the things that we have with our COVID requirements, the extra technology demands that we've been having on our staff and our students. And we want to ensure that we have the right size numbers for our students to provide that quality education without overwhelming our teaching staff and the educators that are there. And more importantly, for the safety and well-being for our staff and students as well, keeping those numbers low so we can keep our cases down. Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you. Mr. Sweeney, was there anyone else?
No, ma'am.
Okay, the formal public comment is closed at this time. We'll move on to new business. And first on the agenda is the approval of the board minutes for the September 16th board meeting.
Madam President, I'll move that we accept the board minutes as submitted for the September 16th, 2024 meeting.
Second.
We
We have a motion by Ms. Malik and a second by Ms. Lloyd to approve the board minutes for the September 16th board meeting as submitted. Any questions or comments? Hearing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. The next item is 8.2, approval of the monthly financial reports.
Yes, submitted for your review and approval this evening are the financial reports through September 30th of 2020. I'll be glad to entertain any questions you may have.
Madam President, I make a motion to approve item 8.2, monthly financial reports as submitted by the administration.
Okay, with a motion by Ms. Lloyd and a second by Ms. Malik, we have a motion to approve monthly financial reports as submitted. Any questions or comments? Hearing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Next on the agenda is 8.3, school choice for the 2020-2021 school year.
Thank you, Madam President. 9 school choice applications for inter-district transfer and 8 school choice applications for intra-district transfer. 10 inter-district school choice termination forms and 9 intra-district school choice termination forms have been received for the 2020-2021 school year. It is the recommendation of the administration that the inter-district students 1 through 9, the intra-district students 1 through 8, the inter-district school choice terminations 1 through 10, and the intra-district school choice terminations 1 through 9 be admitted under choice this evening.
I'll make a motion to approve all school choice applications as submitted.
Second.
Okay, we have a motion by Ms. Evans and a second by Reverend McClymont to approve the school choice recommendations as submitted for the 2020-2021 school year. Any questions or comments? Hearing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Next, Ms. Judy, the organizational diagram policy 2110, second reading revision.
And I have no changes from last month.
You've seen this many times recently. Madam President, I make a motion to approve item 8.4, the organizational diagram policy 2110, as submitted by the administration.
Second.
Okay, we have a motion by Ms. Lloyd and a second by Ms. Mallett to approve the organizational diagram policy 2110, second reading revision, as submitted. Any questions or comments? Hearing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. The next item on the agenda is 8.5, COVID-19 school attendance policy 5112 addendum for the 2020-2021 school year, second reading.
Madam President, no changes, appears as it did last.
I'll entertain a motion.
I'll make a motion to approve the COVID-19 school attendance policy 5112 addendum for the second reading as submitted.
Second.
We have a motion by Ms. Evans and a second by Reverend McClymont to approve the COVID-19 school attendance policy 5112 addendum 2020-2021 school year, second reading as submitted. Any questions or comments? Hearing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. The next item on the agenda is 8.6, the dual class action suit as submitted.
Madam President, I make a motion we approve the dual class action suit as submitted.
Second.
We have a motion by Reverend McClymont and a second by Ms. Evans to approve participation in the dual class action suit as submitted. Any questions or comments? Hearing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Okay, number 8.7 is school choice options for the 2020-2021 school year.
So you can see the attachment that has been put together is a draft that will go to DOE upon your approval. We have projections of growth in all of the schools in our district. We would still be able to entertain school choice for North Special Program Immersion, Smyrna Elementary, Smyrna Middle, and Smyrna High School. Based on the 85%.
So North Smyrna is only for the special
program. Only the special program.
Projection for JBM. Are we just planning, we're going to make plans for that next year or?
It's very high. We submitted that with our certificate of necessity
right.
twice now. So yes, we hope that that draws some attention as it did last year by the secretary, but did not result in that. Well, we have a low number at Smyrna Elementary, but the issue is that we have a special program there that requires
space.
Large spaces for the students that we had moved from North. So.
Yeah, we'll have that plan B if this is a big of necessity to think of. So.
I agree.
I'll entertain a motion.
Yeah, Madam President, I make a motion to approve item 8.7 school choice options for the 2021 school year as submitted by the administration.
Second. We have a motion by Ms. Lloyd and a second by Ms. Malik to approve the recommendation of the administration regarding school choice options for the 2020-2021 school year submitted. Any questions or comments? Hearing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. The next item, 8.8, is the Executive Administration Assistant Salary Scale.
Attached to the new business is the responsibility scale that we would like to move to with our executive administrative assistants, as well as creating new positions to support each of the directors that are currently not supported by executive administrative assistants that are in the exempt status.
I'll make a motion to approve 8.8 executive administrative assistants. Salary scale as submitted.
Second.
We have a motion by Ms. Evans and a second by Reverend McClymont to approve the executive administrative assistant salary scale as submitted. Any questions or comments? Hearing none, all in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. The next item on the agenda is personnel. Items 9.1 through 9.13.
Madam President, I move that we approve item 9.1A, 9.2A through D, 9.3A through D, 9.4, there are none, 9.5A through H, 9.6 as listed, 9.7 as listed, 9.8 as submitted, 9.9 as submitted, 10 as submitted, 9.11 is submitted, 9.12 as submitted, and 9.13 as submitted.
Second. And we have a motion by Ms. Malik and a second by Ms. Lloyd to approve personnel items 9.1 retirements, 9.2 resignations, 9.3 leaves of absence, 9.4 reappointment, reassignment, for transfer, 9.5 new hires, 9.6 revised paid fall coaches, 9.7 revised volunteer fall coaches, 9.8 paid winter coaches, 9.9 volunteer winter coaches, 9.10 revised extra duty, 9.11 revised extra time, 9.12 revised part-time hourly employees, and 9.13 substitutes. Any questions or comments? Hearing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries. Number 10 on the agenda is student matters, which we have none. And with that, it takes us all the way to adjournment. So with no other business, I declare that this meeting is adjourned. 8:06.